because I was a very difficult patient. Mm-hmm. Like, I had so many questions. Mm-hmm. Like, I was challenging everything she said. Why would someone want to open a franchise? However, if my ego is defending a shitty perspective, then it's a problem.
Vom Chiropraktik Campus Hamburg. Hier ist Jan Peer für euch mit einer neuen Folge. Diesmal sitzt mir gegenüber Travis Cochran. Wir machen den Podcast also auf Englisch und ich freue mich auf ein spannendes Interview und sag erstmal Hello Travis.
Hello JP.
So nice to meet you and nice to talk to you. And I think first I would like to introduce you to our listeners. And tell them, who is Travis and what's the history of Travis? Where's Travis coming from?
Well, the Travis you know, I met you in 2018, but there is a Travis before that too, I suppose. Yeah. And I grew up kind of all over the U.S. on the East Coast or east of the Mississippi, and did some time in the Navy where I studied nuclear engineering. Then I went to school to get my degree in philosophy, then went to work back as an engineer. Mm-hmm. Because there's not a lot of jobs for philosophers, apparently. Mm-hmm. So, and I also was, I almost went to medical school. I was accepted to med school on an early admission. But after shadowing this doctor for like 2 months, like I realized this is not for me. This was the first time I'd ever heard of, you know, big pharma and corruption, stuff like that. I was like most people, man, all this is great stuff. Modern medicine's amazing. But watching him, like, that's what turned me off. So right after the degree in philosophy and just before starting med school, I went back to work as an engineer. Mm-hmm. After a couple of years with that, I hurt my back really bad. And so this British engineer I was working with, who I really trusted, he told me to go to a chiropractor. Mm-hmm. If it was anyone else, I wouldn't have done it. But he kind of like, I had no choice. I could barely move. So,
yeah.
Okay, I'm doing it. I'll go.
So you tried something different than before?
I didn't try anything. I mean, that was the day I got hurt so bad. I was trying to lift something really stupid in the back office. And I was keeled over in pain. And he's like, oh, we'll get you to a chiropractor. So I went there. And yeah, it was this young girl. I mean, she had just graduated, JP. She's like a year out of school or something.
Okay.
And her office was pretty empty, so there's plenty of time to chat. And she's building rapport, you know, like chiropractors do to like get me signed up. But I'm glad I did. And yeah, dude, I don't even know how to explain it, but like that was probably the best injury that ever happened to me in my life because I went in there like super skeptical. This chiropractic stuff is nonsense, but you know, this guy I trusted told me to go. Mm-hmm. And she goes, oh, you studied philosophy? I said, yeah. And she's like, yeah, me too. So immediately I was intrigued. Then she starts telling me like all this chiropractic philosophy. I'm like, that's not real philosophy. Mm-hmm. So I thought, of course, here we are years later. And I'm like, it is the only good philosophy. I spent all that academic philosophy, just intellectual masturbating is what it was. But I was just like interrogating this poor woman, like about chiropractic and its principles and how it works. I didn't have a single objection that she couldn't answer with reason and logic. Mm-hmm. And that's like, that speaks to me. Yeah. Right? She didn't show me a single study, no randomized control, double blind, double placebo, none of that. Mm-hmm. It just all conformed to principles. Mm-hmm. Her premises were true and she had a valid deductive conclusion. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And that was all I needed. Mm-hmm. So that changed like everything for me. So after 2 months of care, I remember telling her, yeah, I'm quitting my job and starting chiropractic school. So I was sitting in Palmer Davenport for my first day of class 4 months after my first chiropractic correction.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
So this is a big compliment for her.
Yeah. She like, and
are you still in contact or did you ever talk to her again?
Yeah. We kept in touch for a long time, especially through the, like the school, cause it was so close. I remember telling her when I was going to go to school, I'm going to go, I'll just go right here to National. Mm-hmm. It's like this local chiropractic. And I'm using the term loosely, chiropractic school, but she's like, no, you're not going to go there. You're going to learn chiropractic. So, and at the time Palmer was really a good school. So I'm glad. And yeah, a lot of credit to her because I was a very difficult patient. Mm-hmm. Like I had so many questions. Mm-hmm. Like I was challenging everything she said. Mm-hmm. But I couldn't find a single error in her reasoning, no inconsistencies in her logic. And I was like, my God, like, mm-hmm. like we all say, why doesn't everyone know this? And mm-hmm. that's how I felt. So, and I'm glad I made this decision.
Okay, cool. So you ended up in a chiropractic school at Palmer.
Yeah, Palmer Davenport.
And so you had your medical education before, so you could start right with chiropractic?
Yeah, it was no problem. In the U.S., when you do like a bachelor's of science at the university, mm-hmm. you have to do like minimum organic chemistry, physics. And I was doing all that stuff for the pre-med program, but I got I majored in philosophy. Mm-hmm. So that's where I took the bulk of my courses, mm-hmm. which it started the other way around. Those were like humanities and liberal arts and all that. Mm-hmm. But then I switched to a full focus on philosophy and just made the med school requirements like I'll just do those on the side.
Mm-hmm. So and how many years of chiropractic education you had at Palmer?
At Palmer, it's 3.5 years full time, mm-hmm. no summers off or anything like that. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, in the U.S., a university degree is like 4 years, like a bachelor's. So total, it's 4 years of the undergrad university mm-hmm. and then the 3.5 years post-grad. But some people take the summers off, so then it takes like 5 years.
Yeah. And do you have semesters or?
At Palmer, they do trimesters.
Trimesters.
So, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And what did you do after you finished? You had to. Yeah.
I went to, I was like, I didn't want to deal with all the administration of chiropractic in America because they have like HIPAA and Medicare and Medicaid and all this stuff. And plus, I thought, man, this is the first time in my life I'll get the chance to travel. As a chiropractor, you can work pretty much anywhere, mm-hmm. right? So I took this opportunity in Malaysia. I didn't know anyone. It's a third world country, but it was probably one of the best experiences I had, like mm-hmm. good and bad. The bad parts are what like built my character and gave me incredible confidence in chiropractic because mm-hmm. I didn't know anyone. I'm on the exact opposite side of the world. And I kind of got shanghaied. It turned out to be a raw deal. So I was kind of stranded there. Mm-hmm. And basically, I'm in this little fruit village and like with no money, mountains of student debt. If you know, in America, it's like 200,000 plus mm-hmm. of student debt. But I learned like with just what I knew with chiropractic and what I could do and how I could teach people about what it does, you just have to be a person of value. Mm-hmm. And like that entire village was taking care of me. Mm-hmm. And I had plenty of clients. I was just swimming in clients. It was fantastic.
Okay.
And I lived a pretty good life there. I was living in a little shack in the middle of a fruit farm. Like someone gave me a car to use. Someone else gave me this little portable massage table that I would give chiropractic care on. And like, yeah, in the community, it was freaking great. I mean, I was probably the tallest, whitest person in this little fruit village. So I stood out a bit, but I was very welcomed. But now if I didn't have any value to give, it would have been very different. A Malaysian woman, and it was a real terrible story. Because I was like the third chiropractor this had happened to. I don't know if I ever told you the story, but like, so I get there and she's not a chiropractor. She just owns this clinic. Mm-hmm. She's like, here's the packages. It's 20, 40 and 60, 80 packages of visits. Mm-hmm. So I'm selling those and I'm taking care of the people from the previous chiropractor. Mm-hmm. And then she tells me, I can't pay you for those people, mm-hmm. but you just have to take care of them. And meanwhile, I'm selling these other packages to other people. Turns out like the first chiropractor, he sells all those and she never pays them. Mm-hmm. And so he leaves. And then she tells all the clients like, hey, that chiropractor left with all your money, but don't worry, I'll find another one for you. Mm-hmm. Does the same thing again. And so I was like the third one.
Yeah.
And so I told the assistants, and it's like kind of this weird caste system. The owner is Malay. She's Malaysian. The assistants, they're Indian, mm-hmm. right? And so we can't say anything. We know this is not right. So after long talks, I was like, you can't keep doing this to the people. Most of the clients are Chinese. Mm-hmm. And so finally, they put out like letters and phone calls to all the clients. And then the clients did like a class action lawsuit against the owner.
So it was a big challenge right from the beginning.
This is my first right out of school. But it taught me a lot about human nature and character, but really how powerful chiropractic is. And that I will never as long as I can perform chiropractic or teach chiropractic or something, I have value to offer, and so I'll never starve.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Okay, and how long did you stay in Malaysia?
Exactly 1 year.
1 year.
Yeah.
Till the end, you were independent on your own, so?
Very. Yeah. Yes. In fact, I mean, I had to jump the border every 3 months to get like my passport stamped as a tourist.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the only reason I left, I was prepared to stay there for my life.
Mm-hmm.
But the stress, like at the end, that last month, I'm getting like these weird phone calls that only government agents would give, right? They're mm-hmm. like, hey, do you give receipts for your care and this? And I'm like, these aren't clients of mine. Who are these people, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so basically I knew they're like the Ministry of Health had got an anonymous tip that this unlicensed chiropractor is there.
Okay.
And so I just didn't want to end up in third world prison. So
it's a good idea to leave.
Okay. And then I took the job in the Netherlands. So,
mm-hmm.
and I've been here since May 2009.
Yeah. And how did you find this job?
I was solicited by a group. They have like, at the time they had 5 practices. I think they have 6 or 7 now. And, I mean, the pay was really good and I got to see a lot of clients. But it was very pain-based. It just wasn't for me.
Mm-hmm.
And I wasn't a good match. So I was there for like a year and 8 months. But I refused to use the cold laser. I refused to sell all these like nutraceuticals, like like tablets and hyaluronic acid. I don't know what it is. Yeah. And it was funny because I was like, in the short time there that I was there, I had the highest retention, the highest conversion. And all I did was chiropractic. Mm-hmm. I didn't do any of the other stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So I became one of the busiest and most successful in such a short time. And I was a new graduate,
mm-hmm.
kind of. I had 1 year in Malaysia. But it just didn't work. And I was always like getting kind of scolded for not selling the pillows. And
yeah, it didn't fit into the system.
It wasn't for me. It wasn't congruent with my philosophy.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So I eventually just started my own. Which is where I'm at now.
Okay. And where did you start? Here in Eindhoven? Or?
Just outside of Eindhoven in this little town, Veldhoven.
Mm-hmm.
And I was in a room like 3 by 3 meters in the back of a massage clinic. I just rented this room from this guy.
Yeah.
And I just had a portable table and a tablet and a pin machine.
Okay. How long did you practice on your own before you got the idea?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that 1 year in Malaysia and then 1 year and 8 months with this other group in Netherlands.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, just over 2.5 years, almost 3 years. And then I opened my own.
Mm-hmm. Let's talk about the recruiting. So in the beginning, you called a friend
from
your first class in the States. How did you make him to come over?
Well, JP, dude, I'm a very charismatic guy.
Beer here.
I mean, come on, my charm, that's not enough. He wasn't doing very well in the States and he needed a change and I needed some help. So it kind of just worked out that way.
Mm-hmm.
After that, the next two we got, I believe they reached out like in our association group, they sent out an email. So I talked to one of them and then their spouse was also interested. So I said, well, perfect. I got 3 clients. You know, this would mm-hmm. be great. And then after that, most of our recruits after that were like colleagues of theirs. So early on, we had a lot of South African people from their class. And it helped too because they kind of all knew each other. So it was easier to integrate into a new country when you have like a group of friends. As we got bigger, then we would put out ads. There were still solicitations coming in from the association. And then once like I started speaking and people, then there's just kind of a draw after that.
Mm-hmm.
And now we actively go to schools. Like right now, some of my colleagues and teammates, they'll put on like a recruitment event for Top Chiro at McTimony or AECC, which I guess is now HSU.
Mm-hmm.
So they'll go to campuses and just let them know what we're about. And either they like it or they don't. Mostly though, we just talk about chiropractic and how we like what objective, straight, true chiropractic is.
Mm-hmm.
And like you, whether they join my team or not, I just hope they get so certain and so confident of like exactly what chiropractic is that they realize they don't need all this other stuff
mm-hmm.
like lasers, needles, ultrasound, hot, cold, rinse them off and whatever you do to your clients, oil them up. But Once they get all that, I don't care if they join my team or not. Mm-hmm. I mean, if they are on my team, then I'm going to take very good care of them. And we constantly cultivate that certainty and confidence. But like you, I just want the profession to kind of course correct until they get good procedures, good exams, and a deep understanding of what we offer.
What is your experience with colleagues right from the college or from the university? How well are they prepared?
In terms of like their technical skills, that's my least amount of concern, is their technical skills, because that can be taught in short time. Mm-hmm. But that's quite diverse. Like some of them come quite prepared and confident in their technical skills. Some, not so much. Almost none of them have a system. Like mm-hmm. they all go to technique seminars, mm-hmm. Which I think that's okay. But a lot of the technique seminars, those are not systems. Mm-hmm. They don't show how to locate, analyze. Mm-hmm. They just show you the thrust or how to position your body, which is good if you want a sustainable long career. So I do recommend those. But a system is something like Thompson's or Gonstead or Blair or mm-hmm. knee, chest, upper cervical or activator. Mm-hmm. And I don't mean activator, just the instrument. I mean the system where you have a reproducible systematic check, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. That's what I mean by a system. Our friend, you know him as well, Christian Caswell. Like I like that he makes that distinction, mm-hmm. right? Too many chiropractors, all the technique is great and they all go to technique seminars. But how many of them have a system? Mm-hmm. Like, okay, you come in, this is what I check, this is how I check, and this is how I check every time. Mm-hmm. Instead of like letting the winds of change just direct my hands today, right? Yeah. So, yeah, I think there it's quite diverse. In terms of confidence and understanding chiropractic, the new graduates is also kind of diverse. Like their understanding, some come from, like we've been hiring a lot of Delta Sigma Chi, like this Doctors of Straight Chiropractic fraternity. Mm-hmm. There's also a sorority, Zetas, that they know all the principles, all 33 principles by heart. Mm-hmm. They can tell you the definition of chiropractic, definition of subluxation. They have an understanding of the philosophy, survival values, worldviews, the three paradigms of chiropractic. Mm-hmm. And then there's some that know nothing, mm-hmm. right? The philosophy and the technique, quite diverse. Mm-hmm. The one place where they're all kind of like the same is their confidence and communication. Mm-hmm. They all need some improvements in that area, or a basis even mm-hmm. to build on. Mm-hmm. Like, how do you communicate? You may know it all. They all think that you may know it all and you can do it all, but how do you communicate that to a client that really needs care? Mm. Like a real person who's struggling, who's in pain, who wants help, whose health isn't at its best. I would say that's the most important. I think communication is so, so, so important.
Yeah.
And yet it's probably I keep saying it's the most important thing. And I would argue it's the most neglected. Mm-hmm. Everyone thinks that they have fast triceps or they have enough feathers coming out of their hair and cool hats and bare feet that they're going to harness the spirits of all that's holy and universal intelligence and shoot through their body into the client, or something. But you're just going to attract a crowd of believers, right? If your whole thing is emotion based and it's more personality driven, then you attract people that come and make decisions based on emotion. Mm-hmm. And emotions come and go. Yeah. And that's exactly what your clients or patients, whatever you want to call them, that's what they're going to do. Mm-hmm. If they come in based on emotion and emotions come and go, your clients will come and go. Patients or clients that have an understanding, that's permanent. That's how you build a better practice. Mm-hmm. And those clients or patients are not going to get a deep understanding of chiropractic if you don't have a deep understanding of chiropractic. You can't give away what you don't have. Mm-hmm. How do I explain to you something I don't understand, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. So you have to have the understanding, and then you got to develop that skill of communicating it to others in a way that they start to get it.
Yes, then because I think if you want to change a belief system in a patient who's educated his whole life in the medical world, you have to offer something and explain it in a way they understand.
Yeah.
So they believe you, or better, they understand it.
Yeah.
And
I don't want to believe me. No, that means like
Yeah, I think in the beginning they need to have a little bit trust.
Yeah, and they're desperate too, right? Yeah. I mean, gosh knows what. So many of them, they come in, they've tried so many crazy things already, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. They're desperate when they get to you. Yeah. They'll believe anything. That's why we have to be very careful and stay in integrity and not take advantage of that. And just here's what I offer, and this is how this would help you. Mm-hmm. Are you interested?
Yeah.
No. Okay. I wish you all the best, and I'll always be here if you change your mind. Or they say, yes, okay, great, let's get started. This is what it looks like. Mm-hmm. That's the simplest version, but that's how it goes.
Yeah. And do you accept clients that just came for symptoms?
I mean, we'll accept anyone that wants care.
Yeah.
The thing is, it's...
Because nobody is coming in the beginning for 100%.
Yeah.
Okay, I will come for the rest of my life.
Day one. Sign me up for life. Or I don't even have any problems. I just heard this is really cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, of course we take all those clients. Man, that's just nothing but an opportunity to explain them what we do. It's a real shame that so many of them do come in with this like preconceived notion of what chiropractic is. That's why I like when Keith Wasong, he talks to people about chiropractic. He doesn't even bring up the word chiropractic mm-hmm. because someone asks like, hey, what do? You know, the moment you say, well, I'm a chiropractor, mm-hmm. all these images flood their head. They've already defined. They know exactly who you are and what because I've heard this and heard this and heard this. Mm-hmm. So that's what you are. Mm-hmm. So you don't even have a chance to explain anything. So when someone says, well, what do? Or what's your job or something? He goes, oh, I help people with health problems overcome those naturally. Mm-hmm. Oh, how do you do that? Well, I work with the nervous system, you know, that all those vital messages need to go from your brain to your body and back so it can regulate everything. I make sure that those work without interference. Mm-hmm. Oh, really? I've never heard of that. You could talk all day about chiropractic and then you give me your card. Mm-hmm. It's like a ding dong chiropractic or whatever your business is. Oh, you're a chiropractor. Yeah. Oh, I didn't know that's what it was.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I have to say what you are not.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, I don't do that here.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a good idea. And what made they stay with you and why they didn't open an office on their own? What's so attractive to run an office with Travis?
Okay, yeah, if people don't know, we run in the Netherlands, we run a franchise model. Mm-hmm. And we also have offices in Cyprus, Italy, UK. We just opened in Norway and one in Puerto Rico, one in Canada. But here in the Netherlands, they work on a franchise model. So why would someone want to open a franchise? Well, they'll probably give you a lot of reasons about, well, it takes care of this, this, and this. Like we have one giant EHR, so it's easier to share clients. The marketing centralized. Mm-hmm. With one brand, one group, you get more from the website. It gets more reach, more organic. Like working together is much bigger. You're more noticeable. Mm-hmm. That's the same online as well, right?
So not alone.
Right.
What is about the ego? Normally, if you want to start in business, most of the colleagues try to name it after their name. Yeah. I did the same mistake. Chiropractor Landmann. So I think it's very cool to give it a name without your name.
Of course.
Yeah. So about the region or about something special or whatever, you have to remember it.
Yeah. Yeah, it's tough because... you know, another one that's probably even worse than giving it your own name, like Corcoran Chiropractic. Mm-hmm. The only thing worse than that would be like Corcoran Neck and Back Clinic. Neck Pain Clinic or Back Fixing Clinic or some shit like that. That's the only thing I can think of worse than putting my name on it.
Yeah.
But it depends on how big your vision is. I certainly wouldn't want to limit myself by naming it after the town or the street or something like that. Mm-hmm. However, our offices, people say, okay, Top Chiro Breda, Top Chiro Eindhoven. Mm-hmm. But there's that one unifying thing, that's Top Chiro. Which, I mean, you should probably reconsider branding too if you want to get rid of that. We'll talk later.
Yeah, we'll talk later, yes.
But the name's important. But ego's, you probably heard me talk about this before. I don't think ego is a bad thing. I think you should have an ego. That's your self-defense mechanism for your perspective. Everyone has a perspective. And when it's under attack, your ego stands up to mm-hmm. defend it, mm-hmm. right? So ego's not bad. It's part of your psyche that belongs there. It's mm-hmm. like part of that mental anatomy, right? The non-physical anatomy. Like if I told you, like, cut the gallbladder out and throw it in the trash. Mm-hmm. We all know that's stupid because mm-hmm. the gallbladder has a purpose. Mm-hmm. That's part of your anatomy. Well, the ego's part of your anatomy. Why would you get rid of that? Mm-hmm. You hear so many gurus like, get rid of your ego. No freaking way, man. That's like a defense mechanism. Mm-hmm. However, if my ego is defending a shitty perspective, then it's a problem. Mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah.
But if my perspective is true and correct and I see reality as it is, man, the ego is doing a great job. Mm-hmm. It's really serving me then. Mm-hmm. So you just got to make sure your perspective is in the right environment and lined up. That's where you should be. Don't, why are you messing around with your ego? Mm-hmm. That is an automatic reactive defense mechanism. Just let it go. It does its job. If you want to make sure it's serving you, then you put your perspective correct. Mm-hmm. Try to do the work to get your perspective lined up with reality, just like your gallbladder. Well, I'm going to get rid of it. No. Create the environment where the gallbladder thrives. Mm-hmm. Right? Create the environment where the ego serves you. So,
is there a different type of personality who likes to work in a franchise or in a team? Or is there some kinds of personalities that they say, no, I have to be independent. I have to have my own clinic.
Well, there's definitely those. We've had them. I mean, I don't think they're bad people. I still communicate with some people that were in the franchise and have left as owners. Mm-hmm. There's two. We've had two owners leave. And
That's not bad.
No, but the people that stay, I think, like Christian's one of the best examples. Christine's another one. I don't know if you met her, but they all are good examples, to be honest. All the ones that are with me now. They see that their character trait is that they can see something bigger than themselves. Mm-hmm. That's an amazing thing. Mm-hmm. Those are the kind of people I want to work with. So it's easy for them to do this because they're not distracted by the minutia or this desire of acknowledgement. And even though I try to acknowledge and validate them all the time because they are amazing, but I don't even think they really care. So what? Travis approves of me. Big deal. Give a shit. Yeah. They see like BJ's big idea and some great examples. Christian's like one of the best examples of that. And he's got now five clinics in the UK, five top chiro clinics there, probably close to eight by the end of this year. Even. Mm-hmm. And all the ones we have here, like Naomi, Christine, Lisa, so they're just fantastic.
So thank you for that.
Pleasure. And if ever, you can reach out to me anytime. I'm easy to get a hold of. You can reach out to me on Facebook, Instagram, whatever. You can always find me.
Mm-hmm. Cool.